One thing that I'm very comfortable doing is pivoting, changing. If something doesn't feel quite right, I pivot. If a place or a group of people or even a situation, if my intuition says move, I move. I'm very comfortable changing my environment. So when I thought about what I wanted to accomplish this year, I wanted to make some big life changes. And so I hit up the most creative, wise, kind, and trustworthy person that I knew, my cousin, Dr. Grace Johnson. She is a principal of Swellcraft Solutions, reshaping businesses, communities, and lives. And y'all, she changed my life. So Grace and I meet up every week to do what we've coined as the Growth Hour. Every Monday, we work on real big goals, take actionable steps that bring us closer to our goals exponentially. And she's made me think about some very specific elements of my life that I'd like to grow. And so I'm so excited to have her joining us on the line all the way from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to help us do an hour of growth for When Magic Happens. Grace, we're so glad to have you on the show.
It's great to be here, Shay. I know you all call her Jennifer, but I call her Shay, and I'm so happy to be here with you all today.
Good to see you. Good to have you.
From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Jennifer Shay Love Bowers, here with Cheryl Jackson, Taylor Coward, and Dr. Grace Johnson. Are y'all ready for a growth hour? Yes!
Yes! Absolutely. Yeah, we're here okay. For it.
Here for Say Less.
So much growth, so much growth, and more after the break.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
So I've been telling y'all about this whole growth hour experience I've had with Dr. Johnson, and I'm curious, tell me like a goal. What's something you're working on right now?
I'm trying to be outside more, like in nature, and I'm also trying to get out of the space that I know. So I'm also trying to travel more and just really immerse myself in new places. Mm. And so this is like the year where I'm trying solo travel for the first time.
Okay.
And so that's my new goal, is just like getting out and being comfortable in a brand new setting.
And Cheryl, what about you? Like what's something you're working on this year?
Oh, okay. Where do I start? I am working on, as a way to prep and be prepared to meet the 6 and the 0, I decided that I'm going to be running a marathon.
Okay.
I signed up for the first ever all women's marathon. It's called Every Woman.
Yes.
And it's November 18th.
Okay.
And so,
that's nice.
Yes. Now, I have signed up for marathons before. Let the record read, okay? Be full transparency. So the goal this time is to actually make it.
Is to go.
I've run a half marathon. The furthest I got in my training with my marathon, last time I set that goal, was 18 miles. And I was like, the hell?
Wow.
And bailed.
That's a lot of miles.
I am trying to... I have some financial goals that I'm trying to accomplish. I've actually written down the number, right? But I want to experience abundance in a different kind of way this year. And so the goals that I'm focused on are around just like financial abundance. And Dr. Johnson, I want you to talk to us a little bit about this, because one of the things that I experience in talking to her for our growth hour is we say the thing that we want to accomplish, and then it's really about activating it, like talking about the thing that's going to move us closer to accomplishing the thing. So what you got?
Well, I'm so excited about this. I also have a goal or some big things that I'm thinking about. I don't think I have exact words around this one, but I definitely want to have I want to go to Asia. Now, I really don't have any much more about that. I don't think I have anything else. I'm just thinking through it for the first time, likely Japan. And because I want to learn a language that is outside of the Romance languages. And I've heard that it's really kind of hard to learn Japanese since that's not our same characters. And I want to grow my brain a bit. But in terms of you all, what I'm thinking about, a few things. So you were saying, Taylor, you want to do solo travel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I like to be with other people. But when I transferred colleges, I left all the friends I had made, the people that I knew, and I transferred to a new school, and I was completely by myself. So now I am more comfortable in my own spaces being alone. Like, I can go to the movie theater alone. I can sit and eat lunch alone. But I feel like traveling is something that's like a bigger step. And so, you know how you'll really be enjoying an event and you bring somebody with you and you're just trying to make sure they're having a good time too. I don't want to always go through that. I just want to make sure Taylor's having a good time. And so I'm like, well, let's just like go somewhere. And so I knew a group of people that my choir actually is going to Italy over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I have to get to Italy by myself. I'm staying in a place by myself. And then we'll convene in town to do our choir meetup. And so this is like my first half step into solo travel because I don't really know much of the people that are going, but I have some sense of community, but most of it is on my own. And so it just seems really exciting. I want to start exploring the world more. I want to start getting comfortable being outside of spaces that I know. And so, yeah, that's my solo travel goal.
Okay. This is exciting. So it sounds like you're not actually fearful. It's just the unknown.
It's the not knowing. It's the I don't know Italian. And so like
that might trip you up.
Right. And so it's just like being confident and comfortable in navigating the space and being in a foreign airport by myself and just the unknown. It is really exciting, but it's also scary.
When's the trip?
I go in August.
Okay. So that's some months away, maybe six. And so I'm curious if there's a trip that you can do before August. That might not be a trip out of the country, but maybe it's a trip in the country that is foreign, like Maine or Alaska, right? And so thinking about a place that is going to kind of put you off of your comfort spot, but then also allows you to be able to speak the language, for example. And so one of the things that, you know, Shay and I work through is just building momentum, right? So sometimes that big step is a little too far, actually. but that if we've done it before, we can say, you know what? I went somewhere by myself where I knew no one. And I stayed in a really small town somewhere, and it was kind of uncomfortable, but I figured it out, you know, because sometimes small towns can be like a foreign language as well. So, yeah, I say, like, where might you consider going? I mean, we could get on what Shay and I would normally do, right, is we would get online right now. Let's go online. Let's look up some tickets. Let's see what costs $85 or less, right? I mean, it's not going to be the luxurious trip. It's going to be the point is to get your muscles ready. You can even go and come back the next day. You just got to, like, get your muscles hype about it. You know what I'm saying?
That's so exciting.
I see you thinking about the place.
Me too. She's over here like, tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, like, I just kind of want to. I love the concept of priming yourself for, like, you know, you're like a take those like tangible steps first. So thank you for that. Cause I'm now going to look at a place cause at least I'll speak English. That's a pro.
You will. And the great thing too is like, yes, you're definitely going to Italy. I think that the next step, what I would say is that I would really encourage you to think about a trip right after Italy. So something where you really could be on your own and stretch those wings, or maybe while you're on the trip, you book another train ticket or something like that to another place in Italy or another country in Europe.
Okay, I have thought about that. I will do that.
So now I'm going to push you a little bit further because, see, we grow in an hour. So I'm going to start talking to Cheryl right now. But while I'm doing that, I want you to get on your phone and start looking for tickets. Because by the end of the hour, we're going to say, listen, Taylor, Where are you going? And
yes.
Let's see the receipts.
Yes.
The receipts.
Get the receipts.
Okay? Wait,
okay.
Wait.
Here's the thing. I know that that feels like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it may even be a lot. Like, let's say, like, financially, you don't have $100 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want you to lean into that however you can find it, because the money is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you. Mm-hmm. Shay has experienced this. I mm-hmm. told her to buy a ticket to New Zealand.
Yes.
And she was like, in this hour?
And, and y'all, I found money.
And the money came.
And the money came.
And she went.
And I went.
I'm excited.
So I'm going to let you think about that. I'm going to let you get on your phone, do some things. I'm going to talk with Cheryl for a minute.
Okay.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, you.
So tell me about this. Tell me about these other marathons that you've signed up for.
So it first happened, I think, I'm a survivor. So I went through cancer and divorce at the same time. So it's a way for me to shed things, like have a new goal in front of me and achieve it. And so I did. And I remember saying that I'm going to run this marathon to a colleague, a peer, and one of my jobs, a very senior executive. And he looked at me, he was like, who are you kidding? And I was like, crushed. But I started training. But it was too ambitious. You know, I was dealing with a lot of, you know, the symptoms of treatments and stuff. It was just, just not realistic. But here's what I would do also, the benefit of setting that goal and beginning training. Usually I wanted to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would set a goal of running the marathon, because if you're running training for a marathon, it forces a certain lifestyle change, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sleep and strength and, you know, all the things that lead and support weight loss. So it really wasn't, you know, that important that I actually run the race. Now it's important to run the race because I've run the 5K, I've mm-hmm. run a 10K, okay? I've run the half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to lose weight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to be fine by 6 and the O.
You're already fine. So, You're just going to spice it up a bit.
Okay. Fine-er. But I really want to be in my best shape possible, in my body. So that's my goal. I want to actually run the marathon and also enjoy the perks of having trained for a marathon.
Okay. I love this. So I also have run these same distances and I've run a marathon. I think I've run the Chicago Marathon.
Cold, wasn't it? It was cold as Hades. Yes,
you either get the cold marathon or you get the too hot marathon. There's no in between. What's up with that?
I
got the cold one. I literally started the race and couldn't feel my feet for almost 2 miles because they were frozen at the starting line. But that's neither here nor there. Not to discourage.
I'm already discouraged.
No, wait.
I'm good. I'm good. You know why? Because I'm not fooling around with Chicago Marathon. Okay. This marathon is Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
Lovely.
Yes.
It's going to be flat.
Yeah.
So, okay, I love this. And I'm also, I just want to honor the fact of your first effort, right? Because that's really serious to be able to say, I was trying to make a shift and then to just acknowledge that the conditions weren't right, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last marathon that I tried to run was, I found out that I was pregnant and it just didn't work out. And I was really sad. And to be honest, a marathon is not like a natural course of our bodies. So it's no point in like causing harm or being harmful to our bodies, right? So there's no need for that. But I love that you've done the 5K, the 10K. And so because you've done the 5K and 10K again, I'm curious if over the next, just to warm us up to get there to November, if you would be interested in running a 5K or a 10K along the way. So maybe
absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe you can use it to like go visit your friends and you could say, hey, I'm going to run a 5K. Why don't you run a 5K with me? And then you give them a win too, right?
Right. No, I like that. Since you gave Taylor her homework, I already went on the website. Okay. Typed in 5K. I saw it coming.
She felt it.
I saw it.
She's
coming.
Like, it's coming.
Right.
She's going to make me grow.
That's right. That's right. So let me go ahead and type that in. So 5K. And I think what I'd like to do, and I hadn't thought of that actually before today, is to go ahead and incorporate other races, mm-hmm. As part of my training and progress march toward the marathon. So I think I'll do a 5K and a 10K, as a way. I'll factor that into the calendar. It's a lot of work, I have to say.
A lot of work,
especially if you're over a certain age and and you haven't been in the gym in 4 years. And the last time you ran, I ran a little bit last summer, but my last attempt at training for a marathon was in 2019. That's when I ran the 18 miles and said, heck with it. Mm-hmm. So I have to do a lot of foundational work, you know, the stretching, the gym.
You know what, Cheryl? I was thinking about something when you said that, just about the foundational work, but also, you know, what this means for this milestone, right? I always say this about everything, like, what marathon are you running, right? So maybe you're running for the weight loss, but maybe you're also running to tell yourself you can close this thing, right? You can close the chapter on this vision.
Well, we do not invite you on this show to make people cry, okay? That's what you're about to make me do!
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.
So this will be good. I think that'll be the real challenge for me, mm-hmm. is what the why, what am I running for? What's the internal sort of race that I'm looking to win?
Mm. I think the reason why I'm sometimes mindful of the language around like goals, et cetera, because we focus on that end as opposed mm-hmm. to the process, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the process is what we're here to do, mm-hmm. right? Figure out, like, what is my marathon? So I have one more piece of homework for you, Cheryl. I would like to invite you to sign up for something. It doesn't have to be a marathon. It could be a weightlifting competition, because you're going to have to start lifting weights, you know, for something after your birthday.
Girl, I was going to sit down. Okay.
You're like, more work?
Okay.
I'm 60.
I know. But the reason why, I already know, because you're going to sit down. I'll be like, right now, Cheryl, 61 coming around, and what does happen? What happened?
Like, sit down, baby. You did 6-0.
I'm done.
But I'm saying that because, you know, you all know I'm a hiker, and part of like my whole thing in Swellcrest is not the first hike, not the first mountain, mm-hmm. but the second mountain, right? We can all do something one time, but can we do it a second time, right? And can we just sustain? It's really about sustainability. And some things we want to sustain, like, don't we want to feel like the high of that marathon energy all the time? Yes, we have to rest. You know that's important while you're training. Right. So you must rest. Right. But we also sometimes lose momentum after we hit that mark, right? And 60 is such a huge mark. And you're going to rock it, right? But the thing that happens next for a lot of us, I know what happens for me. I can speak for myself, is as soon as I hit something high, I get confused. I'm like, what do I do now? Like, mm-hmm. I had so much focus. I was doing all of these things. And so I think one thing to mitigate that is to set something. It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. Like maybe you run a 5K in March, mm-hmm. right? You're not trying mm-hmm. to prove that you can run 26.2 miles. You can do that.
Ever again.
Ever okay. again. Ever. Not never.
You did it.
You already did that. Done. Check. Off. You're not trying to prove that you can turn 60 in a fabulous fashion. Done that. Check. Done. Now what? Right? And I think having that momentum is going to make turning 60 even better. Moved on up to it, and you're going to move through it, and there's going to be no confusion. You're going to be like, and I'm moving on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just FYI, we're not calling it 60. We're calling it 6-0. Okay?
6-0.
Okay.
6-0. Correction.
Yes.
6-0.
I like that.
Reframing.
It's O-H exclamation point. 6-0.
6.
Yes, that's the 6-0. Okay.
While I'm talking to Shay, you can look for that 5K after your birthday. Oh, it rhymes.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, it sure did. That's all right. Somewhere fabulous. Okay, I'm working on that. I can do that.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, Shay.
Yes, I'm ready.
What's going up with these financial goals? Because everybody got financial goals, Shay. So what you talking about?
Okay, so my financial goals are, I'm just going to be real transparent. Before I was married, I was in a nice paying position. I was in sales and marketing, making a nice amount of money. And I off-ramped and decided to focus on my family. And so I stayed at home with my kids and I got a divorce. And so I am really trying to use this time to regroup and sort of reevaluate and reclaim the abundance that is for me. Okay. I really have been thinking this year in particular about how do I manifest and have real things connected to financial goals. And for me, it is increasing my retirement, right? And in a way that is substantial, and identifying really good stocks that will help me grow that quickly, because I do kind of feel like I'm behind. And also just being in a place where I want to be a millionaire. You know, I want to be a millionaire in a way that allows me to be to have resources, not for the purpose of just spending resources, but for the purpose of building wealth for my kids. And really, quite frankly, making up lost time. You know, I kind of feel like I've done that. So that's what I've been thinking about, is how do I do that? How do I activate that? I want to be in a great position.
I love that. So Shay, I just want to say one thing. You said twice that you were feeling like you were behind. And you said that you feel like, you know, you're trying to catch up. And I just want to help think about new language for that. So we are always exactly where we're supposed to be, right? God has perfect, ordered, divine time. So while it might be uncomfortable and it might feel like you feel some urgency, that's real, right? You do feel urgency, but you're not behind. So you're right where you're supposed to be. Millionaire goals, this is where I live. Okay. So I'm going to talk with you, but I'm also kind of talking to everyone else, because I don't think I know anyone who's not interested in being a millionaire. But the first thing that I would say when you're thinking about being a millionaire is thinking about your assets. Mm-hmm. Are you already a millionaire? Right? Mm-hmm. Some of us don't actually look at our assets and establish what the value is and what we have. What's the value in our home? What's other equity that we have in other properties? What stocks do you have that you could sell or that are making money for you? The first thing I would offer to you is make a list of those things. Mm-hmm. Decide if you're willing to sell them. If that's not on the table, then we can go to the next step, mm-hmm. right? But I have a client, you know, one day I said, can you tell me the value of your home? Can you tell me what your debts are? Can you tell me whatever? They listed them all out. that was $1 million. I said, you said you want $1 million. You have $1 million of value. You have to just decide what you're willing to do. And for that client, it was a possibility that they were willing to sell that home that would make them a millionaire, right? Sure. Now, I know we're not talking about just a one-time $1 million hit. We're talking about longevity and intergenerational wealth, right? Mm-hmm. But it is a place to think. It's the same thing with Taylor. It's like, why couldn't I go on this trip, right? Like practicing that. And one thing sometimes we have to practice is that release, mm-hmm. right? So releasing of the things that we think are so valuable, like, is your home valuable to you? Or did someone tell you your home was valuable to you, right? Are you okay with living in a condo or an apartment? Are you okay with being a nomad? I know someone right now who sold their house, sold their car, sold some other assets they had, and is living from Airbnb to Airbnb, right? Now, someone might argue that that's not a financially wise decision. They have no investments. They're just burning money. But you don't know what their millionaire status feels like, right? For them, their millionaire status might be that I can move from country to country and have these amazing experiences and invest in companies somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows? So I think that's the first thing. Look at your money. Get serious about what the financial facts are in your life. Right. And what you're willing to let go of. Mm-hmm. And that could be from the smallest thing, like that outfit that you haven't worn for 5 years, to the car that maybe isn't the car you need right now for your millionaire goal. Right. So I think that the next step is to do something big. So if you want big results, you got to take big risks.
Okay.
And that means that you have to invest in something that you know. Right. So all of this is not me talking. This is just all of the things that I listen to all the time. It's maybe a little bit of a problem, but but invest in something, you know. What do you know? You know sound, right? Mm-hmm. You know equipment. You know what those things are, and you know when they're good, mm-hmm. right? You know what the value, for example, of podcasting is. So what are the entities around podcasting that you could be investing in that you really know well, right? And that you can risk a lot of money into. Finally, I think we often think about money around actual money, like, but we don't think about value. So what do we want the value of your life to feel like? You're saying you want to be a millionaire, mm-hmm. but I would venture to say you have millionaire relationships, mm-hmm. right? And to think about how you might invest in that. Here's a question I have for you. If you're going to become a millionaire, you're saying that you had this career and you took a shift and now you're shifting again. The way people become millionaires in this country is you either sell something, you were born into it, or you have a business and you make that money. Right. I mean, some people are employed with W-9s and they're millionaires, but we're not talking about those people. We're talking about creating independent wealth. So what are you willing to do around those things? How are you planning on becoming a millionaire? I'm assuming through business.
I think that's a good question. Well, I think I would be willing to certainly invest in something, you know, in a big way. And I mean, I'm thinking about when we talk about doing things exponentially, doing that. That's something I could do tomorrow. You know, I could take this certain amount of money and invest in something big, you know.
Oh, and what's that certain amount of money? You don't have to tell us, but can you put it in your head what that certain amount of money is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, now, can you double it?
Yeah. You done this, Bobo.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
I'm just saying. The risk wasn't the first number that came to your mind.
Right.
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 That was the safe number.
Right.
Right. The risk is, now can you double it?
Yeah.
And I need you to honestly double it.
Okay.
we didn't have you write it down. We didn't have you show it to us. Double it. And then make that investment. Guess what? Here's the thing. You might lose. That shit is what it is. But if you know why you're trying to be a millionaire, like what's the value in this process, then you never lose. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, girl, you know you can call me. I'll give you some money. I mean, I give you like $5 because I don't really believe it.
You're like, you can hold this 20.
You can hold this, mate. Well, how about, Taylor?
Hey, can you double it? Can you double it?
You're right. I got $5 on it.
But that's what that's your challenge. I'm not going to have you do that right now like I asked everyone else to do, but I do want you to honestly and prayerfully, if it doesn't sit right in your spirit, not like I'm uncomfortable, but like, woo, this ain't God. That was two different things, right? On Monday, when everybody's focused, I want you to do some kind of investment, right?
Okay.
So you have some days, okay?
Okay.
I want you to get them in. That's way too much time. A weekend, Shay?
I know.
That is not growth hour goal, okay? But I'm giving it to you.
So generous.
All right, do it by Monday.
It can be done. It was going to be done on some Monday, 3 months from now or a year from now. But guess what you'll really feel like by then?
Right.
Like you're behind.
Relaxed.
That's right. Yeah. So, Grace, when we think about, like, you know, people who might be listening, we kind of have an idea of what we are going to do. We can maybe be accountable to each other. How do you remain accountable? Like, how do you create systems to make sure that you are accountable for this process or these things that you've set up?
Yeah, well, you actually said it. You said, we are going to be accountable to each other. And that's really data proven. The only way you get through something, right, is to have community, right? And that community can be a community of one. Like, you could have your inner voice that talks to you, because I have, like, my other person, Grace, and she has words, okay?
What'd she say?
But when I need kinder words, you know, I seek out a team member, you know? So especially an aligned team member. So one thing, you know, I talk about Swellcrest in this regard because I think of myself as, like, hiking has taught me so much, right? You don't hike mountains by yourself, right? You just don't. It's dangerous. You could lose altitude. You could go, many things can happen. Same reason why you don't swim in the ocean by yourself, right? Like, you just don't hike by yourself. And I think growth hour goal setting and this kind of high exponential goal setting means you don't do it by yourself, right? You get a partner who is walking the same frequency, who is moving at the same urgency, right? Because you don't want somebody who's like, I'm writing a book. They're like writing a sentence a day. Like, I mean, that's great. I've written a book and that's true. You can do that, but it's not the way to get it done, you know? And they're on like a long journey and it's like 10 years, right? You're on a, you know, 5 months, right? Till November. I kind of made that up. How many months till November? I don't know. But you're on a...
That was a freestyle.
Wiki.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Oh, 9 months. Really? Okay. So 9 months till November. That's a lot of months. Okay. You can have a whole baby in that time. So here we are. We're birthing things. Okay. Anyway.
We like that.
Me too. We're birthing them.
Literally, you're birthing the best births happen when what? You have a doula or you have a midwife, you have a partner along with you. You go to Lamaze classes for support, right? And you have someone who's going to be in the frequency with you. So that's the answer. There is no magic to this. I mean, even though I know we're in magic.
When magic happens, right?
But magic happens for those of us who put the material things in place.
So, Dr. Johnson, thank you so much for joining us. Like, this has been amazing.
Yes, this was so fun.
Really
this was
fun.
So fun.
Yes. So thank you. And that's a wrap for today's episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. Special thanks to our guest, Dr. Grace Johnson, for coming by and giving us some tools that could revolutionize how we do life. Where can people find you, Grace?
You can find me at swellcrest.com.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Bowers, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
You can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
And you can find me on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer. Engineering by Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.